Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Manzorere, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing fine, I'm well.
Ah, fantastic, man. Has your day been fine?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, fantastic. Great to hear that. Now, we're continuing with our conversation that we've been having for the better part of the weekend. We're talking about the Church of Christ and those who are joining us for the first time. We are talking to Pastor Manzorere, as we said, and we have been addressing the topic, the Church of Christ. And so thank you for joining us, even if you are joining us for the first time. I do hope that you will pick up some lessons as we go along. Now, many people have queries, questions, and even suspicion about different issues within the church. And there was even a moment on social media called "I left the church, not God." So today we want to discuss the connection between God and the church, and if the two are mutually inclusive or they can be separated. So, Pastor, is there merit to that? Is it possible to leave the church and not leave God? Or do the two go together and cannot be separated?
Yeah. You know, it's actually surprising that someone can make such a bold but uninformed statement that I left the church, but I don't leave God. Because I'm just trying to think, in the first place, who introduced you to God?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a person who just wakes up or they are born and right from birth, no one, socializes them into the religion of God, and they know it on their own. They make their own decision. They baptize themselves. They grow into Christ on their own, such that they can then say, I have nothing to do with the church. I don't need the church. I'm with God. But, that is aside. We need to get back to Scripture and check and see if ever one can be able to say, I left church, but I don't leave God. And I think I've spoken in the past two or so days about the allegory of Christ's church and the church being Christ's body. I'll read the text which I think are relevant here for today. First Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, First Corinthians. I'll start reading from verse 12. I'll read up to verse 14 and then jump the other text. And I'll read also verse 27. First Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we are bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." That is verse 14. And remember, verse 12 said, Christ is that body. And the body is not one member. Many members. Verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." Now, if the church is the body of Jesus Christ, it's impossible for me to say, I left the body. I did not leave Christ. That does not make sense. It's unfortunately very paradoxical. It's self-contradictory. It can only be uttered by someone who has not even understood the anatomy of Christ's body and what it means and what it points to. The church is Christ. We were baptized into that body. So in the first place, if you say you are a Christian who is baptized, you must remember that we are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. So the moment you say, I'm not leaving this body, I'll still remain with God. It's impossible. It can't. You can't leave the body of Christ and claim to still be with Christ. It's impossible. People are just uttering statements, but without sitting down to reflect and think deeply on what they are saying or what they are, teaching each other. Because I know when people are in their own circles, they may think, it's possible. I can leave the church, but I'll still be with God. No, you can't leave the body and still claim that you are with the body. It's impossible.
Quite interesting. Quite interesting, Pastor. So you're saying that there is no way that a person leaves, the church, but not leave Christ. So does that presuppose that the church can only exist within a particular organization?
Yes. In fact, let me say, when we speak of the church, we have got the church visible and the church invisible.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. The visible part of the church is the one that I want to suppose you're referring to as an organization.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the invisible church comprises of many other people who have not yet had Christ's call, but will come in. When God looks at those, they are part of his body. Because he knows wherever they are living up to the truth that they've been exposed to the life that they've been exposed to. They have not yet joined the main organization, which is purporting to, or which God expects to be promulgating the whole truth. They've not yet become it, but they are part of the invisible church of Christ. But definitely, there needs always to be the visible organization. And this is the one that God speaks of when he says, I'll introduce a shaking in that visible organization. So we know that there will be a shaking, then we know there's a visible organization. People are having challenges with the weaknesses that they see in the visible organization, but that doesn't mean that it's no longer the body of Jesus Christ. Because Christ himself says, I'll take it like that, I'll do some shaking, those that must not be in there, I'll shake them out. So it's not our problem, it must not be our challenge that there are visible, gross, you know, ungodly acts or whatever you want to call them that are going on inside the visible body. Christ will deal with those. And there should never be a reason for someone to say, I'm leaving the body.
Interesting. I've got a question here from Derek on the line. You know, and if any one of you wanted to send any question or commentary, please do so to +27 734703520. So do like Derek. He's asking a question, Pastor.
Yes.
In fact, I think this is commentary. He says, to please inform the pastor, or to inform the pastor, one can be introduced to God apart from the church, actually. Your view on that?
Introduced by who? Because anyone who is going to introduce someone to Christ has responded to the call of Jesus Christ, has become the body of Jesus Christ. Okay?
So
whoever introduces someone to Christ is a member of Christ's body.
Okay.
So I don't know what's the person's, Derek's definition of the church. Maybe he thinks the church is the building. The church comprises of people who have responded to God's call and they are responding to his mission. Go and introduce others to me.
Does that not speak to the church?
Someone who came,
does not speak to the church visible that you're responding to? Perhaps he's also talking about the church invisible?
The church invisible, like I said, is comprising of members who have not yet, you know, they are living to the little light that they have been exposed to. They are still to be exposed to the broader and fuller light. When they hear the voice, Christ says they will come. Okay. Yes. So whoever introduces someone to Christ, it means that person who is introducing someone to Christ is a member of Christ's body. There is no reason why I would introduce people to Christ when I have nothing to do with Christ. It means I am a member of Christ's body. That's what I mean when I say it's the church that introduces you to Christ in the first place.
Ooh.
Not a building, but people belong to the body of Christ.
And by extension, they are then introduced by the church.
Yes, yes.
Interesting. Now, you keep referring to the church as the body of Christ, and I think some days past, you also referred to it as the bride of Christ. Why such references?
Because they are biblical. It's the Bible, it's Christ himself, it's his apostles who say it clearly that the church comprised of many members, each one with a specific and particular function and role to play. They are not going to play the same role. That's why the analogy of the human body is given, whereby the hand has a particular role to play, different from the eye, but both are important and their mission is one, to make sure that this human body, this machine, achieves whatever it needs to achieve. That's exactly how the Church of God functions. We are different, we are gifted differently, we live in different places and come from different areas and backgrounds, but our mission must be one, and the weakness that this brother has must be complemented by my strength. My strength should complement that other brother's weakness, and my talent is complemented by that other brother or sister's talent. And as we come together, that's when and only when we can be able to achieve the mission. I'm never going to be able to achieve God's mission when I am alone, because I'm the hand only. I'm not the hand, the foot, the eye, the hair, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Christ needs people to be part of the body, so that together, when they complement each other, they can then fulfill the mission.
Interesting. Now, you talk about the body of Christ, the church, and the church that would presumably meet, every weekend. In this case, on Sabbath, every Sabbath, attending those regular church services, and so the members of this body then become also regular attendants to this, convocation or gathering of believers, as it were. Now, is this important at all? If one has to live their lives, and what is the importance of attending such on a regular basis, and should one actually consider even having a church community in their own personal lives?
Yeah, there are two words. I'm trying to think of the other one, but the first one is for the purposes of admonishment. You'll find that one very frequent in Paul's letters. But most importantly, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul specifically says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's important that we admonish each other, or we are admonished by others. You can't be alone and expect to grow spiritually. You won't go anywhere. That's why Paul is saying, whenever you are together, it's for admonishment purposes. Mm-hmm. And when you read Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not neglect gathering or meeting with others. That's an imperative. It's a commandment. Do not neglect. So I can't come and say I no longer want to meet. When Christ inspired someone to command us not to neglect meeting with others, it's so important, because that's where we gather warmth from others. We are encouraged. Others help us see things from a certain angle that maybe we had failed to see them in that way. We are discouraged. This other brother wants to know why we are discouraged. They lighten us up, and we are also there to do the same to others.
Mm.
If you put one log in the fireplace, it soon will go dim. But if you want your fire to keep burning, put three or more logs into the very same fire. The moment you separate those logs, the fire will definitely blow off. It won't continue burning. So we are like logs in the fireplace. We need each other. We need to be together so that the fire keeps on burning.
Now, you're suggesting that the purpose of meeting together is so that there is admonishing in place. Supposing that the role of conscience, which I believe would be the role of the Holy Spirit, is then not active because one has to go to church for that to take place. Is this what I'm hearing from you?
I'm not sure if I got your question. You're saying the role of the Holy Spirit.
I'm saying that one has got a conscience, but that is, the role of the Holy Spirit to admonish. You know, in your heart when you've done something wrong, and you will have that conscience that no, this is not right, and the Holy Spirit will appeal to you. It is like that. It happens naturally. Now, I don't see a need to go to church if this is simply just to, be part of being admonished or being admonishing others, because I think the Holy Spirit can play that role perfectly well.
Yeah, it's true what you're saying, but remember, admonishment is not the only reason why we need to be going to church. I've spoken broadly about the need to fulfill God's mission.
Mm.
Okay? And I think I've also highlighted the fact that
God's mission, which can only be fulfilled in church?
When we are together, because we need to complement our gifts and talents. We need to put together the resources that we do have. We need to put together ideas of how to tackle that other a difficult area or whatever, on your own, you can never be able to do much in God's mission, if ever you will do anything.
Okay, interesting. The mission, you are saying it's mission impossible on your own, suggesting that to be able to get into the mission, you've got to be in a community of believers, correct?
Yeah, you must be in a community of believers.
Isn't that nullifying the fact that each and every one of us has got to play their personal role in advancing the kingdom?
I've got to
advance the kingdom of God as a responsibility that I'm given to go out there, say the word. So wherever I am, whether I'm in the trains, whether I'm in the taxis, whether I'm in the mall, etc., I would meet people, just talk about the love of God, etc. Surely doesn't need anyone else.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That definitely when I'm doing mission for God, I'm doing it as an individual. But when God looks at the bigger picture, it's
right.
being done collectively.
I see.
Okay?
I see.
Yeah, because it's the church which is being commissioned, but the church has got many parts which are individual members. And this member is gifted in music. I'm not gifted in music, but there is a need. There are people that need to listen to uplifting spiritual songs. It means that the member who is gifted in song must minister to those people, whilst me, who maybe is gifted in speech, can't do anything about it. So we can't say he's fulfilling mission as an individual because he's doing it or he's singing as an individual.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
This is a mission that is given to a body with many parts, and then the parts can fit in well and know where and when to use who and why. Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to be very honest, maybe for the sake of time,
right.
If you want to be very honest, the reason why someone would say, I don't need the church, it has nothing to do with anything but for two reasons.
Yeah.
It's either you're running away from responsibility.
Okay.
Or you're running away from your own mischief. Okay. Those are the two main reasons why someone would say, I don't need church. You know very well that the moment you become part of this body, the responsibility is definitely going to fall upon you. And you'd rather be away from that body, which will put some responsibilities over you, and deceive yourself that I'll do mission on my own. Or you did something that you know very well that you should face some discipline.
And
you don't want to discipline, so you run away. If people were honest, they would be honest enough to say one of these two reasons is the reason why they say we don't need the church. Is a body. Either I don't need this, I am running away from responsibility, or I am running away from discipline. Otherwise, I don't see any other reason why someone would say I no longer want to go to be part of any church or the organization. I don't see any reason why.
Last question.
Unless I need to be informed.
Yeah. Last question that is coming on the line here on our WhatsApp line is, question is, can one leave one congregation for another and not the church? Or is that the same thing? So the person has left this congregation and has gone to another congregation, but they've not left, nothing to do with God, and they've just left the congregation, and they believe that, no, I will go to another congregation.
Yeah. Normally, it so happens. I've seen it happening several times. Personally, when I visit, I've got churches that I prefer to go to, for certain reasons, but you'll discover that it's all based on human judgment and human preferences and human, feel. Because the reason why I'm leaving that congregation to go to that other congregation, I have no assurance that the problem or challenge that I'm running away from that congregation, I won't meet it in that other congregation. I would rather say, if it may help you to grow spiritually, prefer to go and worship another congregation, but it's not fireproof. It's not watertight. You're most likely going to face the same challenge again. So it is better for you if you realize that there is this weakness at this congregation. I was hurt by this person at this congregation. Instead of running away from the person, why don't you sit down and talk over it so that you don't read some disappointment and hurt in you until Christ comes. Or if it's something about that church that you don't like, why don't you put some influence in one way or the other. Why don't you be patient with the saints until you influence them to do things the other way that you think is better? Because running away will not solve any challenge, because you are going to be growing until you end up worshiping in another country every other Sabbath. Because you are definitely going to be meeting those same challenges. Because we are human beings, we've got weaknesses, and there is no perfect organization or congregation, so to speak, that you are ever going to say, now this congregation is perfect. There are always going to be challenges and weaknesses in each and every particular congregation.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, because we've gone completely out of time, we're going to have to let it go there. I do want to say thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a great pleasure. We meet again tomorrow, one more time, same place. But for this afternoon, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Be blessed.
Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.